Well, it's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day here in southern Ontario, Canada. Brother Tom here with a message I'm sure you're going to enjoy. And it has a bit of an overtone to it that some of you who are in my age bracket, which I'm not going to disclose at the moment because it has no bearing on the message, will surely remember, and perhaps a lot more of you all. The name of my message today is All in the Family. All in the Family. Ring a bell? All in the Family. Yes, that's right. It's the Archie Bunker way. Now, you might be thinking right off of that, what does Archie Bunker have to do with the Word of God? I mean, he was a bigot. Yeah, he was a hypocrite. He was all those. But bear with me. And before this message is finished, you'll see exactly where I'm going. Oh, the Archie Bunker way. Let's have a short prayer before we get into the meat of the word. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for this opportunity you've given me. Lord, that I might deliver this word to the ears that will be open to it, to the heart that will be receptive to it. I thank you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you would receive me, Lord, and that you would bless me and give me utterance, Lord. For it's in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray and ask these mercies. Amen. Well, what are they? And how they can destroy your local church? The Archie Bunker way. The Archie Bunker way. Now, under the heading of pulpit pollution. Have you heard that big word? Pollution? Pulpit pollution? Ooh, hey. Under the heading of pulpit. Now, there I go. I'm going overboard here and taking too much liberty, perhaps. But under the heading, you will find enough verbal and physical garbage to send a Bible-believing church reeling for a month of Sundays. Yes, you will. Now, right away, you're going to say, oh, here we go, another one of them. What's wrong with every other church except ours sermons? Ooh, really? What should be the hour of power is the hour of scour and scourge. Why can't we say we're all God's children and go home and relax with a cold beer, eh, like Archie Bunker, and watch All in the Family? The old Archie Bunker reruns, because we are not all in the family of God. Whether you want to accept that or not, you want to take the liberty of going in your own direction, well, that's up to you. As far as I'm concerned, as far as the Word of God is concerned, we are not all in the family of God. To that burst of analogy, to you I say, go if you will, but I intend to see it through, come hell or kingdom come. A cold beer and Archie Bunker, them were the days. Well, they were not for us who can recall, because I know I was right in the prime of my life when Archie Bunker hit the airwaves, when All in the Family was super popular, you might say, on TV. Really, set a new trend, groundbreaking, you might say. I wasn't saved, but close to it, I suppose. That's probably the best word I can think of it. And I knew that I was, if I'd take that final leap, I'd be on my way to heaven. On my way to heaven. But I was young and foolish, just like a lot of us are today, young and foolish. And by the way, not to show impartiality, but there's a lot of old and foolish as well. I was a Catholic at the time. I'd been a Catholic for 47 years. And I believed in God. I mean, everybody says, well, not everybody, but most people say, I believe in God. Now, what makes you so different from me? How dense of heart and mind can one be? I'm not trying to get Shakespearean here now. I, the greatest sinner the world could ever know, with all my cussing and carousing and consumption, I was actually on my way to heaven. How did I know, you may ask? Because a pitiful, pint-sized priest told me so. You got that? A pitiful, pint-sized alliteration there. Priest told me so. I remember when we had him over for supper, my wife and I, one Saturday evening. How gentle and kind and soft-spoken he was. I can still see him, cozied up on our living room couch, like a teddy bear, but not the kind you want to play with. When I tuned into All in the Family and laughed my fool head off watching the real true life of people playing real true life people, well, it was funny to a degree. No, in fact, it was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. Wasn't a hypocrite in the lot. From Archie, the overweight bigot, to Edith, the dim-witted wife, to Gloria and Michael, the self-made heathens. Every character on that show was somebody we knew back then and somebody we know in real life today. Yes, we do. Do the Archie Bunkers still live in this world today, even if they passed on? Do they? Well, their characters still live for sure. Oh, yes. The Bunkers are more real today than ever. Take a look around you, especially when you're in church. Now, isn't that the Edith Bunker over there? About middle age? A little overweight, perhaps. Casually attired. Cheap costume jewelry. A mite edgy, the nicest woman you'd ever want to meet. Dear old Edith. And who's that seated beside her? Oh, no, it can't be. Is that Archie the bigot? Probably got his baseball stats inside his Bible. Hey, he's not wearing a tie. But he does have on his plaid checkered jacket. Remember that? Easy to see he's restless and would rather be home watching the Yankees. I wonder how Edith got him to church. Boy, now there's one for Ripley's. Right there, how Edith got Archie to go to church. And is that Gloria, Mrs. Stivick, Michael's wife? Surely Michael's not here, Mr. Heathen. The walls would cave in if Michael Stivick stepped inside a real church. Well, bite my tongue, bite my tongue. There he comes, soft chewing it down the aisle. I can't believe my eyes. Maybe he's trying to collect on a bet. Man, that Bunker household will be the talk of the town tonight. Especially since they graced our doorway here at the church. Wow. People will start thinking the Bunkers got religion. Now, if you haven't guessed by now, well, we've got a direction, yes, with the Bunkers here. I like to say, well, good old Archie. You know, come to think of it, Archie was a good old boy. He stood up for what he believed in anyway. Even if it wasn't always right. Even to win. You know, whether you've ever seen that sitcom All in the Family, which ran, I'm sure it was in the 70s now. I sincerely believe that even today, many years later, All in the Family is still all in the family. And then some. The reason it was so popular was because, well, people could always relate to the characters in the show. I even admit to being an Archie Bunker at times. My wife would say so. Now, Edith, don't start. The only real change that stands out today is the role of Edith Bunker, Archie's wife. Everybody loved her. Archie didn't always treat her well, and yes, from time to time he'd call her a dingbat, but nonetheless, he loved her like his right arm. You know, back in them days, family had a special tie, not unlike they have today. The Bunkers of today, well, they don't have a sign outside their house that reads, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Or, "The family that prays together stays together." But yet they clung to each other, all just like mortar to a brick. They clung to each other like you wouldn't believe. But you know something else? The Bunkers had a lot more scruples and family values than many of today's families, whether they be Christians or not. And when I say families, I include church families as well. You know, there are several reasons for this. The first reason I can think of would be, well, a big funny word called propaganda. What is propaganda? Webster defines propaganda as the organized spread of ideas and doctrines to promote a cause. One of Satan's favorite weapons is propaganda. During the war years, propaganda was sent out over the wireless, especially from Japan and Korea, that the Allies would pick up from their ships and at the front lines. The main purpose of propaganda was to spread lies and scare tactics to confuse our troops and set them in disarray. You know what? The devil uses similar tactics today, confusing churches and even causing them to believe a lie. Yes, he is. Well, ideas and doctrines, as you may or may not know, do not always see eye to eye. Did God give us a Bible filled with ideas or a Bible filled with doctrine? Could this not be the number one problem in churches today? Could it? Ideas and concepts being confused with doctrine. Who comes up with the ideas and the concepts? Well, that's the devil, isn't it? And who comes up with the doctrine? Well, that's the Lord God himself. That's his word, is it not? Does God, our God who is omniscient and knows everything, does he ever have an idea? Let me see now. I'll have to give this some thought. Is that God? Does God have to think things over? Does he? Well, not the God I know. My God already knows about tomorrow and the day after and thereafter. To think about what you're going to do or what you're going to say is to be uncertain. Is God uncertain? Is he? I'd say no. What do you think? We humans use such phrases like, I'll have to sleep on it. Or, I'll have to talk to the doctor or one of the family. Does God ask his angels for suggestions as to what he should do, does he? I don't think so. Now, we as humans, we should give it some thought, of course, because we are not God. We should ponder things before we do them, before we say them. After all, we're not omniscient. We are not God. What about his holy book, the Bible? Did God have a meeting with his angels? Have them advise him before he wrote the Bible? When he had David pen Psalm 12, 6, and 7, did he say halfway through, "Oh, hold on, Dave, hold on a sec. Do you think the people will understand that?" Did he? Not my God. Well, just in case we should find ourselves unsure, what do you think we should do? What do you think we should do about it? Go to a reference Bible? Did God write reference Bibles? God wrote only one Bible and gave us only one Holy Spirit by which to guide us into all truth. And then, what did he tell us? Well, the answer to that is found in Romans 8:26. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, let's read verse 27 as well, okay? That was verse 26. Romans 8, verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? To the word of God, right? According to the word of God. The greatest intercessor for prayer is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that dwelleth in every believer. Until you get your heart in sync with the Holy Spirit, every utterance outside the word of God is nothing but propaganda. Now, I respect a lot of these people that wrote Bible histories, that wrote stories about the Bible and help people to understand it a little bit more, but you have to exercise caution here. There's only one God, one word from God. But why would we need the Holy Spirit if we had somebody writing us all kinds of books and brochures and what have you, telling us all about God? You know, I'm a strong believer that if you truly believe in God and you're saved, you're a part of his family. And you pray unceasingly, you pray, and you ask God to give you wisdom, to give you utterance. I strongly believe that God will respond and show you the light of his word without getting involved in too much of the outside world. It can lead you astray. Look at all these mega churches. They're going crazy trying to decide which is right. What's so wrong with that over there? How come I can't do this? How come that other Bible says I should do it that way? They're going crazy. If people were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then the Spirit of truth would listen and would guide them into all truth. Not the truth according to Billy Graham, not the truth according to Rick Warren, not the truth according to what's-his-face, Joel Osteen, but the truth according to the word of our holy and righteous God. That's where the buck stops. You know, the greatest lie in churches today is to pray. Did I say that right? The greatest lie in churches today is to pray. Well, yes, we are commanded to pray. But what the church has failed to report is the need for salvation first. First, if you're not a believer, if you haven't been to the cross, then that you pray for is lost. People have got to know that God cannot look upon sin. What's the point of a non-believer in his time of need praying for healing when God won't hear them? First, salvation and repentance, then answered prayer. Let's get it right, churches. You know, there are too many people, church people included, walking around wondering why their prayers are not answered. And the pastor is not telling them the truth for fear of losing them. Did you get that? The pastor is not telling them the complete truth for fear that they're going to get discouraged, walk out the door, take their money with them, and never come back. That's why you get a lot of big mega churches. That's why you get them driving around in big Cadillacs. And that's why you get them, you know, buying Lear jets and living in penthouses. Because they do not come down heavy enough on the people with the truth about what God is saying in His Word. The reason the mega churches are packed and filthy rich is because pastor doesn't accentuate the fact that salvation and repentance must precede answered prayer. They're filling their coffers with cash because He's filling their hearts with lies and omissions. Oh, use this Bible. It's easier to understand than that one. Here, this one here has got the whole Word of God in it. And this one over here, oh, it leaves too much out. Listen to me. That's why I am ordained a pastor, to help you understand, to explain God's Word to you. Where does that leave the Holy Spirit? They're going to hell, and the devil's laughing all the way to the bank. And what are you doing? You are keeping it all in the family. Number one, that was propaganda. Then we come to pulpit politics. Pulpit politics. Nobody likes politics in the best of days. But when you start getting politicky in the pulpit, oh, block my ears. Show me the door. There's one. This is really one for the books, you know. This certainly does not apply to all churches. I want to make that understood. But they're growing. They're growing. In fact, politics, I guess you could say, are everywhere. They're like chicken man. But when they take up residence in your local church pulpit, then these politicking preachers behave like they're running for office. Their main tactic is exalting the church. And I'm not speaking about the building, okay? If you're having a lousy life and a friend suggests to you, come to their church where your Holy Spirit will be enlightened. No offense to the Holy Spirit here. When the church, which is the people, greets you with miles of smiles and laugh at you because they thought you told a joke, when in fact you were very serious, then you have just been politicked. You have. You see, politickers are like Cheshire cats. Are they not? When they come to your door looking for votes, well, when you come to their church, the first thing they do is make you feel like you're a shoo-in for a church mate of the month. You're a shoo-in for a church mate of the month. Immediately, they would like to know if you are anyone of importance. What do you do for a living? How's your bank account? No. They'd like to ask you that. They get that from somebody else. And what's your husband do? There's a good clue there. What's your husband do for a living? Are you married? Well, you should ask if they're married first before you ask what their husband does. It's backwards here, isn't it? And try getting out the door. Just try getting out the door. They'll have you volunteering for some church project that you're so unique doing. You know, whatever they ask you to do, they know that you can do it before they ask you. Now there's Mr. So-and-so back there. Fine, upstanding Christian man. Is he ever handy with a nail and a hammer? Whoa, he could build one of these church buildings in one day. Well, you know, that's not true. But you're really lifting him up. That's what the devil does. You can do it. You can do it. You don't have to go there. You don't have to do this. You don't have to say that. You don't have to believe in that. You can do it. You can do it. You've got the power. You can do it. No, give me a break, will you? The politicking continues when you meet the pastor at this mega church. And that's where the politicking is usually at. It harbors in the mega churches. And you ask him a few basic questions, like, have you grown this much in such a short time, Pastor? Well, I remember only a short while ago you had room to spare. At least that's what I was told. You had to put in more chairs, did you? Or take them out? Oh, yes. Now, here's where the politics really comes to an ugly head. An ugly head. And it's when the pastor explains that God has really blessed his church since they made some minor adjustments to their itinerary. These changes include more upbeat music. Sound familiar? He doesn't mention the word contemporary, though. Just upbeat. Keep the people awake. Well, if you've got to have upbeat music to keep the people awake in your church, then you're a boring preacher. You better go back to school. He doesn't mention contemporary. Also, our relaxation and how we dress. You don't have to wear a shirt and tie. You can come any way you want. God looks upon the heart, not upon the way you're dressed, which is true to a certain degree. If you ain't got the goods, you don't wear them. If you got them, you'd wear them to go to Buckingham Palace and meet the Queen, wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you wear them to your church to meet the King? Once on the subject of which Bible to use, his politicking response might be, well, we're here to help people get to know the Lord. Usually, we preach from the King James. But sometimes we find there's greater understanding in other versions as well. You know, such as the NIV, which is very popular, you know. And then there's the New Living Bible. I think a lot of the ladies prefer that one. God has given us his word in so many variations. We just seem to get more out of them when we sort of combine them. And that way, well, we keep everybody happy. End of dialogue. Barf, barf. And that way we'll keep everybody happy. Oh, sure. If you can do what he wants to do and she can do what she wants to do, and there's nothing there in the Bible that says you can't do it, either one of you, oh, you're going to find some sort of joy in that, aren't you? Of course you are. It'll keep everybody happy. But what about God, I wonder? Will it keep him happy? We have the propaganda, and we barely touched on politics. But they don't hold a candle to the poison that's found in that little member called a tongue. A tongue. Can you talk and hold your tongue? I don't think you can. As a rule, poison speaks for itself. However, when the Word of God has been poisoned by the tongue or tongues of men, then that's a different ballgame, isn't it? Many preachers today, in reaching for the golden ring, have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Psalm 140, verse 3. Read it for yourself. In Romans 3, verses 10 to 18, we read, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips." And verse 18, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." These are men who profess to be men of God. James 3, verse 8 tells us, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." They stand boldly. Boldly they stand upon the platform of God, professing to be wholly blessed. And yet their apparel is that of a vagabond. They speak of the financial needs that must make the temple of God akin even to that of Romanism. You've been inside a Roman Catholic cathedral? Oh! They shout hallelujah to a king who is not found between the pages of their Bible, and with their self-proclaimed righteousness give forth contradictory scriptures, thereby stifling God's holy truth. Then they tell you to depart in peace. Go ye therefore in peace. The peace of the Lord be upon you. They tell you how to find your way, yet they have lost their own. They tell you that sin will not be tolerated by God, yet they invite you to extend your hand in gay approval to that which is an abomination to God. Their numbers flourish because they give the people what they want to hear and refrain from the mention of sin. Hell is not in their dialogue. They, and I'm closing with this, these are the Archie Bunkers of today. And believe me, it's all in the family. God bless you.